For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
This is Brandon Ayuk, and you're listening to Roster Wars.
Hey, Roster Watch Nation, it's your Philly neighbor, Trash Man. In our continuing effort to bring you more round-the-clock fantasy football coverage, I'm going to be talking today about more free agency, day two of free agency, and what has happened in day one. Let's just recap everything that happened in day one. Free agency, first off, Sam Darnold to the Seahawks. Like I said on my segment yesterday, I'm not sure that this is good or bad for Sam Darnold. I do think that the offense, at least in its current state, probably isn't as good as the Vikings offense as far as, you know, from a receiving corps standpoint. But, you know, a lot of things could happen from this point on. Jackson Smith and Jigba is really the only cog in this Seahawks receiving core right now of any consequence. You have to imagine you're going to add more firepower there. But for now, it's Sam Darnold and Jackson Smith and Jigba. So big year for Jackson Smith and Jigba. We'll see about Sam Darnold. He imploded at the end of last season as we all watched in slow motion. But he gets a chance to redeem himself completely in Seattle. So there we have it. Another quarterback that moved, that changed homes yesterday, Justin Fields to the Jets. And another move that, I mean, it's better for Fields, you know. He was second fiddle in Pittsburgh last season. Actually had a decent season in Pittsburgh last year, and you know, and the outings that he did have for the team as a starter. But he, for all intents and purposes, is the starter for the Jets right now, which is good news for Garrett Wilson. He's got a quarterback who can air it out consistently. I don't know how accurate he's going to be, but he's going to be able to get it to him. And you have to imagine they might add a little firepower in that receiving core as well. For now, Justin Fields, you know, it's kind of how I look at Sam Darnold. He's in a position where he could actually improve his fantasy stock. But that's yet to happen. After that, another quarterback of less consequence, though, Jimmy Garoppolo back to the Rams. Just insurance there. Don't plan on talking about Jimmy Garoppolo ever again for the entirety of this offseason and into this season. Hope I never have to, unless it's something zany that he does in the news. After that, we talked about Samaje Perine to the Bengals, back to the Bengals as the number two behind Chase Brown. This actually could end up getting Perine some fantasy production on a semi-regular basis. Chase Brown, you know, when he was coming into the draft process, when we were watching, he seemed like a third down back at the Senior Bowl. You know, he was a good pass catcher. We didn't love him between the tackles, but, you know, He largely proved us wrong last season as the lead back for the Bengals. I mean, he's not an ideal lead back by any means, but you know, he worked in a pinch for us. I don't know how consistent he'll be this season. I mean, you have to think at some point he's going to get hurt. He's just not built for a three down back role. Samaje Perine, on the other hand, is built for a three down role. I mean, we've never really seen him in that role for any real length of time, but he's a big back and he can catch the ball. I think he will eat into Chase Brown's third downs. I think he'll eat into Chase Brown's receptions. So it's a little bit of a knock on Chase Brown, Samaje Perine going back to the Bengals. After that, we talked about Javonte Williams briefly to the Cowboys. That happened actually while I was broadcasting on the show. Again, this is not a move that excites me for the Cowboys. I haven't had a move excite me for the Cowboys since they, I don't know, drafted CeeDee Lamb, to be honest with you. I guess it's not true. But Javonte Williams to the Cowboys, he's better than Rico Dowdle, more dynamic, but not by much, at least at this point in his career. Injuries have plagued him. Injuries have kind of softened the blow that Javonte Williams brings in the running game. It seems like another middling back to add to the Cowboys roster, but they actually didn't have that many backs. You know, Deuce Vaughn was there behind Rico Dowdle. That was about it. So maybe Javonte Williams is more insurance for whoever they draft. You know, I'm crossing my fingers it's Austin Jeanty. But, you know, that's yet to be seen. So Javonte Williams to the Cowboys, I guess right now I would consider him the front runner to be their starter should the season start today. But don't hold me to that. We also talked about Chris Godwin going back to the Bucs, which, you know, he actually took less money than he was being. I think like there was 20 million more out on the table for him to go elsewhere. But maybe it was to a team that he didn't want to go, didn't think had a chance. The Buccaneers are very much in the playoff conversation. They have been in the past several years. So maybe he wanted to go back to another team that would compete, and also to a team that he felt safe on. You know, he's recuperating from a pretty serious injury. You know, it's a facility that he's familiar with. It's a team he's familiar with. It's an offense he's familiar with. So, you know, if his road to health takes longer than, you know, we might expect, or he might expect, he can at least jump right back into the offense where he left off, because it's the same offense basically. So good on Chris Godwin, some loyalty there for the Bucs. We also talked about De'Ami Brown to the Jaguars. And this is another move that really didn't move the needle for me. De'Ami Brown is another kind of role-playing receiver, of which the Jaguars already have plenty of, it seems. You know, maybe he has some decent days in fantasy from a PPR standpoint for the Jaguars. I don't see him really being a threat to Brian Thomas Jr. and his number one status there. I don't see that at all, really. If he gets 6 targets a game, I'll be shocked. But, you know, it's a new home for him. It's a new offense for him. Maybe he thrives there. And so those are all the guys that I talked about yesterday evening in free agency. Let's talk about a few guys who I hadn't mentioned yet. First off, the most important of these being Najee Harris to the Chargers, formerly of the Steelers, on just a 1-year contract, or prove it contract. Harris will be the lead back for the Chargers. I mean, they have yet to re-sign J.K. Dobbins. And Gus Edwards, he's already been released from the team. There's a chance they do re-sign J.K. Dobbins, in which case, you know, I think Harris still gets the lead back role to start the season. There's going to be competition if that is the case throughout, but J.K. Dobbins has not shown that he can stay healthy for the entirety of a season, whereas Najee Harris, you know, if nothing else, he has been consistent. He has been fairly healthy throughout his NFL career, even though he hasn't been one of the more dynamic lead backs in the league. I don't think this changes much for Harris. You know, I don't really see it as a boost for his fantasy stock. I don't see the Chargers offense, at least right now looking at it, as much better than the Steelers offense for a running back like Harris. Harris has gone over 1,000 rushing yards in all of his 4 years in the league, but just barely. The highest he's ever gotten was 1,043 yards since his rookie season. So not a lot of upside for Harris in this offense, but I will say that he will probably get more touchdown opportunities, and that accounts for something. Harris, you know, he's an RB2 with upside in an offense where he doesn't really have any competition as of yet. So it's not bad news for Harris. It's not really good news for Harris. I don't think much changes, but it is news for Harris, and it is a good move for the Chargers getting a competent, stalwart running back there to buoy that offense. Let me know what you think. Do you like Harris to the Chargers? Like I said, it's not something that excites me. I think I like the Chargers uniforms more. So that's something. After that, we have Elijah Mitchell, who goes to Kansas City on another 1 year deal. It's worth up to $3.5 million. Mitchell is 27. Well, he'll be 27 in May. He's been forgotten about really in fantasy football. He's been injured. And, you know, with Jordan Mason coming on in San Francisco, in addition to, Isaac Rendo as well, you know, Mitchell kind of got buried in the news cycle for the 49ers. But now he's in Kansas City, where he is the number two behind Isaiah Pacheco. Pacheco had a pretty injury-riddled season this past season, so it makes sense for them to bring in another back. I don't see Mitchell being – I don't see him as a big step up from Pacheco. I don't see him as a step up from Pacheco, really. I think Pacheco can do all the things that Mitchell does. He's not quite the bruiser, at least frame-wise, that – Mitchell is, but he's a hard runner. So he kind of mitigates that. I think these players could actually be kind of interchangeable, and maybe that's why they picked up Mitchell. Something happens to Pacheco, you can just toss Mitchell in there and the offense will work pretty much the same way. But this is a boost for Mitchell in my eyes as far as fantasy goes. I see him actually, you know, getting some decent fantasy production in there sometimes. I think that with the way Andy Reid runs his offense, he's not going to be afraid to put Mitchell in there on some series. And with Pacheco having the season that he had this last season, I think they'll be less hesitant to put another back in there. So I like this for Elijah Mitchell. Tell me what you think. Do you like this for Mitchell? Do you like this for the Chiefs? What kind of condition does this leave the 49ers? And I think the 49ers are fine. I think they have some decent backups there, some decent backs and backups, backup backs there in San Francisco. So this doesn't really move the needle for me in that respect. But as far as Kansas City goes, I think Mitchell actually sees some decent touches this season. We'll see.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
In less intriguing fantasy news, the Colts have re-signed wide receiver Ashton Doolin to a two-year contract worth up to $8.5 million. Doolin, as you probably didn't remember, is coming off a torn ACL that marred his entire 2023 season. Only two receptions in Indianapolis in 2024, mostly special teams duty. The Colts have a lot of wide receivers and a lot of pretty good wide receivers. They just don't have a quarterback who can get it to those pretty good wide receivers on a consistent basis, at least as of yet. We'll see what happens this season. Doolin comes back as a role player. You know, he'll be situational there for Indianapolis. He's actually 28. I didn't think he was that old. But we just haven't seen that much of him on the field. And so, you know, him being that old, maybe the fact that he hasn't played that much football helps him. But the fact that he's, you know, 2 years almost removed off the torn ACL doesn't really help him. So none of this really moves the needle for me. And I'm not going to talk about Ashton Doolin any more than I have to. On a bit of sad news, maybe not for fantasy, but just for football. The 49ers have released fullback Kyle Juszczyk. I always have trouble saying his name. And I bet you have trouble spelling his name. But the fullback for the 49ers has been kind of the, I want to say the face of that franchise and that offense for the past few years. He's been in the league for 12 years, actually. It didn't seem that long. Spent the last eight with the 49ers, started with the Ravens in 2013. He's entering his age 34 season, which, as far as ball carriers go, he's like the Methuselah of ball carriers. I mean, chances are he finds another home in the league. But there's not really much to say about fullbacks right now from a fantasy perspective. It's on a rare occasion that they do anything noteworthy in that regard, but it is, you know, a turning of the page in San Francisco. And I wish him luck. I'm sure we all do, Roster Watch Nation. Oh, a bit of football news I didn't touch about that happened yesterday. Zach Wilson, quarterback, Ghostbuster. 1 year, $6 million contract to the Dolphins. You know, this actually, I think, bodes pretty well for Wilson. I mean, Tua, we know, plagued with head injuries, is probably going to miss at least a couple games with head injuries this season, too. I don't really see Wilson as a competent number two for the Dolphins. I mean, although I wouldn't consider any of the guys that they had as their number, you know, as their backups this past year, or I wouldn't consider them competent either. If something happens to a Tagovailoa this season, and I'm sure it will at some point, I am probably staying away from all pass catchers on the Dolphins if Zach Wilson is going to be under center at that point. Maybe they draft somebody. Hopefully they draft somebody. Because I'm not taking a chance on Zach Wilson unless I absolutely have. Well, I'm not. No, okay. I'm not actually taking a chance on Zach Wilson at all. But, you know, I guess in a pinch, I would take a chance on one of his receivers if I actually have to. Another former Dolphin who I didn't mention yesterday that found the new home, wide receiver Braxton Berrios, formerly of the Dolphins, as I said, 1 year, $2 million contract, now a Houston Texan. They keep adding wide receivers and losing offensive linemen. And what has got to be kind of like a hair pulling situation for Texans fans, as the thing they need most on that offense is a capable offensive line and capable offensive linemen. And they got rid of Laremy Tunsil, who was the most important cog. I mean, he's their left tackle. He was 31, which I guess is getting a little bit older, but, you know, linemen play well into the 30s. Hopefully with the, I think, three draft picks that they got, I mean, throughout the next 2 or 3 years, they add more to help protect C.J. Stroud. But, you know, if I'm C.J. Stroud, I'm going to be pissed off. They don't need more wide receiving, you know, options. They had plenty. I mean, Tank Dell, you know, has shown himself to be injury plagued, but they had other good receivers in that receiving core. But there you have it. Braxton Berrios, formerly of the Dolphins, now on the Texans. I kind of view him as a slot receiver, but he actually played more on the outside last season. 61 snaps outside, 51 in the slot. I see him as more of a slot receiver in this offense, at least. He's entering his age 30 season. I mean, he'll improve their special teams. This doesn't really move the needle for me from a fantasy perspective, though. Add some depth in that receiving core. But I don't really see it making a difference on game days and on your fantasy teams. But good for him. And more inconsequential. Well, I'm sure they wouldn't like us to hear that news as far as free agency goes. The 49ers agreed to terms with tight end Luke Farrell, formerly of the Jaguars, who just added two more tight ends yesterday, one of them being Johnny Munt. Signed with the 49ers through a 3-year contract worth up to $20 million and includes $11 million guaranteed, which is pretty good for a guy who is pretty much just a body, a blocking body for the 49ers, who I guess, you know, with George Kittle getting older, you know, they saw the need to add another blocking tight end. He's only had 36 catches in 4 years. But he'll probably see decent snaps there as a blocking component for the 49ers. Doesn't really move the needle from a fantasy perspective. Oh, this just came in 1 minute ago. ESPN Stephen Holder reports Daniel Jones is deciding between signing with the Colts or the Vikings. I don't really care what Daniel Jones does, as I hope to never have to even mull over putting him in one of my fantasy lineups. I guess between the Colts and the Vikings, the Colts, you know, it's funny because I think the Vikings have the best receiver of that bunch, but I think the Colts might have the deepest or, you know, the most talented wide receiving core of that pairing overall. I would say so. In any case, it doesn't really move the needle for me from a fantasy perspective. Hopefully, we don't have to talk about Daniel Jones very much, if at all, this season. Let me see if I've left anyone out. Oh, Patrick Taylor, we didn't talk about. Another 49er running back. Another one-year contract extension. So Taylor is back in that mix for the 49ers. Isaac Rindo being there as well. Mason. So this could be like, you know, musical chairs. Hopefully not. Hopefully none of these guys are really that fantasy relevant this upcoming season, but we'll see. So again, not news that moves the needle at all, in my opinion. And like I said, so Jordan Mason, so the 49ers tendered Jordan Mason at a second round level. Nothing really doing there, though. Russell Wilson hasn't found a new team, but reported on Yahoo that his market beyond the Giants is pretty flat. The Titans don't seem to have much interest in him either. So it looks like Russell Williams, for all intents and purposes, will be a Giant come the start of the season. Oh, Brady asked a question. Brady, do you give trade advice for Dynasty? Yeah, I give trade advice. Ask away. While I'm waiting for that, more about Russell Wilson. Chances are that the Giants bring in a rookie quarterback, making Russell Wilson more of a transition quarterback for the Giants, hopefully. Wilson had a decent season for the Steelers and stints. I don't know when he fell off the ledge from becoming, you know, an elite NFL quarterback to a middling NFL quarterback. You know, he's had some injuries to his hands that probably has something to do with it. But I don't see him as the answer for the Giants this season. And I don't think the Giants would as well. See him as somebody to be a placeholder for whatever rookie quarterback they bring in. Although he can't be much worse than any of the quarterbacks that they've been dealing with the past couple seasons. Oh, Brady's question. Josh Allen, 2025. Round one for Drake May, Justin Jefferson, and a 2025 fourth rounder. So what side are you on, Brady? You'd be getting Josh Allen or you're giving away Josh Allen? That's what I want to know. Because just looking at this at face value, I like the idea of getting Drake May and Justin Jefferson. Drake May looks like the real deal to me. I don't know that he's going to be Josh Allen caliber. But in Justin Jefferson, you get arguably the best receiver in the league, you know, in the top two, three. And Drake May, who could be a top 10 quarterback. For Josh Allen, who, you know, Alex and Cody would consider the number one fantasy quarterback. You know, but Josh Allen, I'm getting a little bit older. I mean, he's still young for a quarterback. Drake May, really young for a quarterback. Drake May, like I said, does look like the real deal. Does look like they're investing in more receiving ammunition for him. Well, I mean, although, I mean, if you consider Matt Collins ammunition, viable ammunition, but he does look like the future the future of the Patriots as far as their quarterback position. And then you get Justin Jefferson as well and a 2025 fourth rounder, but you're also giving up the 2025 first rounder. Oh, this is tough. You know, getting the 2025 I mean, the fourth pick, you're not going to get Austin Jeonty. In Dynasty, the fourth pick, I mean, he's going to be the first or second pick at worst. I don't even see him being the second pick really in really any Dynasty leagues. So after that, you're taking a chance. And even with Jeonty, you're taking a chance. You never really know. But he's a chance worth taking. I don't hate it, to be honest with you. I don't hate it. I think maybe just slightly there's an advantage. I think if you don't do it, I don't think it necessarily hurts you either. But I think if you really, if your team needs that bump, it needs that extra push, needs to change its complexion just a bit, I would accept that trade.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.